That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Keeping my word to you one day at a time, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Nuclear clock says 1:06. Today, 21 June, as I like to say, because the devil does hate Latin. Anno Domini, 2019. And I also like to say right now, carpe diem, ladies and gentlemen. Literally translated into Latin, that would mean pluck the day. It's been loosely interpreted, interpreted to mean seize the day. A little bit of Latin to start, as I like to use to say, Pax Domini Tecum, and welcome back. Thank you for the gift of your valuable time. Here I stand, feet firmly planted in front of God. I don't know, passing out common sense and logic like no other non-English speaker. I guess English is a second language at Brush Briars of Freedom today, where we actually celebrate free thinkers, free-range children, and adults alike. Kind of an unusual deal. I get it. I'm different, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a real libertarian, an honest-to-God libertarian who gets that my personal protection is mine. My personal protection is my personal responsibility. Mine alone, in a voluntary and non-aggressive fashion, this gift from God is mine, and it is mine to protect. I get that. Maybe I learned something different when I grew up in that crazy place called Utah, right? We also know that with knowledge, wisdom, enlightenment, we hope, and a lot of courage, each and every generation will and must necessarily fight, possibly violently, for their own freedom and the future of humanity. Wait, I think. Pull it off, ladies and gentlemen. The guys at Perfection Auto Works have been supporting me since the very first day, 2 April, year of our Lord, 2016. We walked in here at 10:30 a.m., The Voice, to pull off this live local organic radio show we do. Mike and the guys. Mike is also my brother from another mother, as you guys know. The guys at Perfection Auto Works at 1046 North Beverly, 323-8650. You can call them. You can check them out on the interweb at perfectionautoworks.com. You'll see hundreds and hundreds of five-star reviews from people that have done what I talk about. Start taking care of the basics, ladies and gentlemen. Tech tip number one. Numero uno. I don't want to offend anybody. Sorry about that. Number one. Tech tip number one. Go back to the basics. What do I like to talk about? If you got a baby, you got to take care of the basics. You got a house. Basics, basics, basics. And if you have a car, ladies and gentlemen, get it down to Mike and the guys, the crew and the staff at Perfection Auto Works. They will check the basics. Give them a call at 323-8650. Get on the schedule. I'm not saying just drive in there and go, oh. Now, again, Mike is, we were talking about this. You got to be able to kind of somewhat, and I know this is called a dichotomy, plan for an emergency. Well, imagine the car really does have a bad day. Breaks down, has to be towed in. Mike has contingency plans for that, including helping you rent a car or telling you maybe as quick as he can how he can get to it and try and get you out of a bind. Maybe you don't have rental insurance on your car like you ought to. It's about $8 a year, right? Maybe you don't have towing. You ought to. It's about $4 a year. Basics, right? Guys, Perfection Auto Works, try and work you in as quick as they can when it's an emergent situation. And they try and make sure they get you out cost effectively, being judicious with your money, unlike the people that you elected. This is private business, ladies and gentlemen. This is the real world out there. And get you out on time, on budget, on schedule. It's simple. Honored, integrity, strength, and respect for you as a customer. That's the game they've been playing in this town for 25 years. Our local organic mechanic at 1046 North Beverly. Go in, stop by, say hi. And again, when you walk in the shop, you see immediate self-respect. Not just Mike, but the crew and staff at Perfection Auto Works are there to make things happen. Also brought to you by Danny at BiomedLLC.org, my way better half, ladies and gentlemen. The girl I love, actually been supporting me for, I don't know, I think she's going on about a year and a half. She wanted to get involved. She understands the concept. I have to amend some of my statements about medical care because I actually see it happen. I saw it happen 3 weeks ago. I have to amend something because I saw very, very talented people do very, very difficult things. I was there in the what I call the highest order of St. Joe's Hospital in ICU, and I saw people that have been brought to the very highest level of care for humans. The only thing higher than ICU is NICU, neonatal ICU. But these people I met there and were willing to talk to me, actually let me ask them questions and whatnot. Saw a whole level of care at St. Joe's that I'll expound on that later sometime, but I've had to change my thing. But Danny supports me with amniotechnology, also supports people in town and people in Arizona, Texas, Colorado, Hawaii, Montana that actually shatter joints, knees, hips, I don't know, elbows, fingers even, with plates and screws. When you got to put it back together, ladies and gentlemen, Humpty Dumpty doesn't go back together with anything but plates and screws. Danny's been working on that for about a year and a half. High-end supplier of plates and screws to people that need that kind of work. I get it. You got to have an ortho. I can't do it at my house for you. Sorry, my DeWalt drill and my saw and whatnot, probably not going to be the ideal situation for that. Got to get the crap put in a hospital. If it really goes to heck in a handbasket, Danny's got it covered at biomedllc.org. Also brought to you by Frontier. Mike, Frontier Towing, sorry about that. My buddies, my brothers in arms, ladies and gentlemen, right down the thoroughfare at 3630 South Dodge. Moral and ethical friends of Tucson, Arizona. We don't want you to break down at 1030 KVY. We got no interest in that. I don't want to see a car broke down on the side of the road. I don't want to see two cars stuck together at 22nd and Alvernon, but I do. When you need the guys, ladies and gentlemen, they're there 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 748-1100, taking care of Tucson also. We're running on 26 years with those guys. Joe and Jimmy have been taking care of me with everything I've ever needed. When I need to move either a bus or a BMW or, I don't know, clown car full of politicians, they're there. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I've got to get into something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to do this pretty quick because I should never even look at this. But what we're in right now is in a horrible situation. Charles was working on it, a situation of people looking for a problem rather than looking for a solution. Colorado State University has come up with one of the most brilliant problems I've ever seen, and it's a problem with the English language. But before I go into that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to shorten this one up, and I'm going to try and explain what libertarian is to you people. I understand that I'm the only one in Tucson radio that actually defines myself as a true, honest-to-God anarchist. Christian anarchist. Who was the first Christian anarchist, ladies and gentlemen? They pegged him to a cross. His name was Jesus. I'm not comparing myself to Jesus. I'm just saying I'm a Christian anarchist. Very simple. Very hardcore libertarian. There's down at the point of libertarianism, there's one guy, me, by himself, listening to other people describe themselves as libertarians, going that you're not close. You may have drove a chicken truck by the libertarian factory I came out of, but you're not a libertarian. First of all, libertarians believe people should be free to engage in any economic enterprise without permission or interference from the state. If you hear someone say I'm a libertarian and they agree with interference from the state in free economic enterprise, they are a statist, not a libertarian. Libertarians oppose all occupational licensure laws and all economic regulations of business activity. As long as that activity is moral and ethical, it's not with force. We're simple on this. We also believe people have the right to keep whatever they earn and decide for themselves. And this is a very difficult argument, ladies and gentlemen, deciding for yourself what to do with your own money. Are you willing to take that leap into freedom? I know it's a rough one. I mean, what a deal. If you're out there working for half your money right now and tomorrow I got my way and you got all your money, would I be the bad guy? Would I be the one at the top of your list to say, I don't like you, Sean? Or would you go, and that Sean had a pretty good idea. He sounds a lot like Jefferson. Sounds a lot like Samuel Adams. Oh. Well, but Sean, they taxed all the people back then. Ladies and gentlemen, no. No, they did not. People did not pay income tax. Sorry. We fought a revolution over a couple of pennies on a dollar. Necessarily, ladies and gentlemen, libertarians are ardent advocates of the free market, which is simply a process by which people are interacting with each other peacefully for mutual gain. What an idea. You got something to sell. I happen to have, I don't know, a pocket full of cash. Your price meets my idea of how much cash I want to trade for it, and we make a deal. Does the government need to get involved? Now, if you think they do, you are not a libertarian, you are a statist. You don't think that I can go buy a fridge on the side of the road, load it up in a pickup truck, and take it home without a government intermediary. You're a statist. Simple. Pretty simple in education, ladies and gentlemen. I've called for it, and some people on the air call for it. We call for a complete separation of school and state. Not church and state, school and state. Which means the repeal of school compulsory attendance laws, school taxes, which rip us off blind, a complete end to all government involvement in education. Period. End of story. If you support government mind-washing camps, Let me amend that. Please hold off on calling yourself a libertarian. You're a statist. Government compulsory schooling comes from Marx. Modified by the Prussians, brought to America, working as intended right now, where failure is a feature, not a flaw. Libertarians don't like public education. True, honest to God libertarians will say just like I said. It needs to look like that corner down there at 22nd and Alvernon. End dumps, ahoy. Let's haul this crap off. It's a tough one. Welfare? Repeal all of it. Period. End of story. It's not fair to use force and coercion to steal money from me and redistribute it either to a politician or a welfare recipient. Troubling. I didn't say hand out is not a bad idea. Charity works, ladies and gentlemen. Voluntary. I'll say it again. Voluntary. That means if you put a gun in my face or the threat thereof, that would be coercion. Call it extortion, grand theft, I don't know. But basically what it is, the threat of a gun so that I'd hand over my money and other people pass it out as desired. You can see it right there right behind the Quick Mart at about 25th and Alvernon. Great big building. It says Department of Economic Security. Money stolen from me and given to other people. I know, it's very, very scary. What do I think about gun control? What do real, honest-to-God libertarians think about gun control? People have a right to resist the tyranny on their own. Tyranny of government or the tyranny of a single criminal. Protecting yourself from violent acts of either is pretty libertarian. That means tyranny of the state and tyranny of the, I don't want to pick on anybody, the thug. Oh, careful, I think that's on my list. I might have to take that away. Healthcare, what do we think? This crisis, quote unquote, in healthcare is not a crisis. It's a crisis of government intervention, state-controlled intervention. What did they run on 2 years ago? I don't know, almost every one of the Republicans. When I get in there, I'm going to repeal Obamacare. What did they do when they got in there? I don't know. Made sure they got a raise, padded their pensions, made sure they didn't have to abide by the laws that me and you, the plebs, the slaves, I don't know what we are out here. Idiots, fools, gypsies, tramps and thieves. Oh, no, can't say gypsies. Sorry. And this is where it gets pretty tough. We are the libertarian, the hardcore crazies. We're the hardest core on the First Amendment. Real simple. Keep your freaking government out of my speech. Keep your government out of our churches. Make sure we have the right anytime to say whatever we want, especially about government. The First Amendment does not give me the right to call other people names. Well, first of all, it's immoral and it's unethical. But criticizing your government needs to be one of the most patriotic things you can do. Whenever you see it going out of control, you got to get involved. It's tragic, ladies and gentlemen. This is a country that did have slavery. I understand that. I don't need to be schooled in slavery. I get it. I know what the Three-Fifths Compromise was. I know what Dred Scott was. I've read the whole decision. We were a country of slavery. But in 1890, ladies and gentlemen, most of us that actually study history and we start to know what's going on, the following government programs were virtually non-existent. Income tax, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, any type of economic regulation. Occupational licensure was non-existent, ladies and gentlemen. There was no Federal Reserve ruining our money. There was no conscription, which is a draft. There were no immigration controls. And ladies and gentlemen, in 1890, I will promise you, there were no gun control laws, even though all you could have was a six shooter or a musket. It was crazy back then. I got to take a break. Rick Charles, hang on just 1 second. I will make this as quick as I can. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, Brushfriars of Freedom, where we respect our women because we don't want to drag our knuckles, lick any windows. We don't want to be cavemen. Without our women, especially you, Danny, I love you. Without you guys, without you girls, us guys are talking monkeys on a flying rock. We don't want to be that. Get us out in 2 minutes and 45 seconds. We'll be back. Live. Infection.org studio at 10:30 a.m. The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news from the heart, body, mind, soul, and spirit of me. What is truth, ladies and gentlemen? I'll get right to you. You guys know I got to do it. Jesus was talking to Pontius Pilate one day. He said, "You say that I am a king. I was born and came into the world for this one purpose, to speak about the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth listens to me." And Pontius said to Jesus, "And what is truth?" Pontius walked outside and talked to the people. "I cannot find any reason to condemn him." That's out of John 18:37. You can check it out yourself. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Brush Fires of Freedom is live. Welcome back. Rick, how are you today? Did you make it through? Sorry about that. I apologize.
I did. I think I made it through.
Yes, you did, sir. I can hear you loud and clear. Are you on your shortwave in Thailand? God, I like
calling
it.
Calling from an undisclosed location.
I like that. Don't tell anybody where you're at, because it's only like $140 a week and no income tax. I like it.
Yeah. And so income tax, funny you should mention. I was just speaking with somebody this morning about this. And we come to the conclusion, after some extrapolation, that quite a bit of extrapolating, that it's really the income tax that's the source of all evil. And if without the income tax, these other programs can't exist. And it's the income tax that feeds the bureaucracy, if I can mispronounce that. And it's the income tax that feeds the government programs. And it's the income tax that allows the government to get up in your business and all in your in any aspect of your life. So you sell a few things on eBay. Uh-oh, you sold more than X number of items and earn this much money, boom, now you got it's taxable. You get a 1099. It's taxable. Now you got to account for every little cent. Well, what did you pay for it? What about this? Now you have to hire like some kind of professional accounting firm.
That's called a CPA. Because, yes, yeah. What I used when I get my 1099K from PayPal. Yeah. It's like, hey, wait a minute. I paid $50 for this a while back. I sold it for 60. Who cares?
Yeah. Or you paid $60 for it
and sold it for 40.
You want to get rid of it,
yeah.
And you sell it for 50.
Yeah, exactly. Try
and so the problem is this: is that when everything worked, the government, when everything was okay with tariffs, right? So tariffs was the way the government ran for years and years.
And excise taxes, yes.
And exercise taxes. Like, I guess Richard Simmons got to pay them.
That's right. Gym taxes, what me and you pay when we go to the gym, right?
Yeah. The problem is the income tax becomes intrusive in everybody's personal life, and it gives the government an excuse to get into everybody's accountable, right?
Yeah.
And so, but if you have a VAT tax, where by buying goods, services, products, you pay a tax and support the government, that's okay, but the government doesn't want that, because they want to be inside your business. I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy.
Well, it seems to me, for a guy that's kind of on the, I guess, moral and ethical or intellectual and moral side, the battle right now for the third century of this republic is the people that favor true liberty versus those who favor state control of peaceful, and again, I say peaceful, non-aggressive activity. If I go out, trust me, guys, I'm not saying no laws. I never said that. If I go out with a baseball bat and hit somebody and steal their stuff, which is my first advocation on this show, first day and every single day since then, don't hit, don't steal. If I do it, I expect to be punished. I don't have a problem with that. Right now, the government steals more in civil asset forfeiture than all burglaries in America combined. Is that working out well, or... I mean, did we miss the boat?
Yeah. Well, so you have to remember, no taxes, no A-10s. And I love A-10s. So apparently we have to have some taxes. Mm-hmm. But by having this crazy income tax system, which causes a huge bureaucracy,
yes,
in the government, and you've got to have thousands and thousands of workers to snoop into everybody's accounts, and then you have to pay them retirements and benefits and health care and gender change options for surgery.
We can't say, I think that's on my list. I don't think we can say gender now.
Oh, I'm sorry, I apologize. I've
got a long list here. I'm going to try and get, I know I won't get to it, because we all kind of have differing opinions on this, Rick. Can I get to Charles, buddy? You got anything else?
I'm done. So the income tax is the root of all evil, but it's here and the roots run deep, and I don't think we can ever get rid of it.
I mean, it seems simple to tax production.
Yeah.
If you're the government or consumption if you're a libertarian. You know, right. I mean, then you can, I know it's hard to imagine American citizens controlling their own taxes in that I can go to Goodwill and not pay, or I can go to Jim Click and buy a brand new car and pay. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%. Thank you for your time, sir.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Keep the faith out there, brother. Call me anytime, by the way. Charles, how are you today? I am so sorry for the wait. We are Chatty Cathy again. Chatty Cathy.
It's radio that was worth waiting for. Rick's was a very good call. And I'm not sure it's income tax that's the root of all evil, but certainly the love of income tax is the root of all evil.
Oh, that's well put, Charles. Thank you. I appreciate that. And who? Okay, so private libertarian citizens out here, 790-2040, if you love the income tax, you can tell me about it, because I am down with this, ladies. I'm like Charles. I want somebody to dissent and go, oh, I love 50% coming out of my check.
You're not going to get any defense of that out of me. I refer to government as less bureaucracy and more kleptocracy.
Kleptocracy.
K-L-E-P.
For the audience, that would be, you can GTS, you can Google that stuff at kleptocracy.com.
There's a book by that name of kleptocracy. But anyway, it's government by theft is what it is. And what I wanted to ask you, and I'll take the answer to this on the air, because you may want to think about it over a break or something, and that is, where do you draw the line between the rule of law and the legitimate function of government and government by kleptocracy? Where do you draw the line between that? Because I think even the most steroidal libertarian doesn't want to take down the traffic signals at the intersections.
No, not at all.
What I'd like is your philosophical discourse on where you draw the line between the legitimate function of government to stop harm between people and the overreach of government when it descends into kleptocracy. And I'll listen to that answer on the radio and let other people call it.
I appreciate it, Charles. I'm very simple on this, and I'm a very unusual guy in that when you start reading and you go deep, 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 all the way back to John Locke, and what government is instituted for is the protection of life, liberty, and property. Now we start to look into, if we say, and a lot of people can, and I am not advocating texting and driving. I hate it. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I got a problem with it, okay? But I also don't like having the government write laws about that, because I always start to look at what's called pre-crime. Now, in that there are a certain amount of people out there, probably 4 to 10% that could drive down the road and text on the phone. I happen to be one of them. I don't, but I can. I've done it a lot. I've talked on the phone from here to San Antonio, Texas, in a Mack, hauling a 9-axle that weighs 240,000 pounds. Never thought anything of it, but I did pay attention out the front window. A lot of these things are, now it's called public safety laws, rather than government is, in my opinion, not here to protect in advance, because that becomes pre-crime. If nothing got hurt, we go back to Blackstone or Black's Law, there can't be a crime. Now, can you do certain things in government to keep people safe? I'm with Mr. Franklin on this. A republic, if you can keep it, and trading away security, the Fourth and Fifth Amendment and the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution in the name of public safety gets difficult with me, because most of the time, government has been known to cross the line rather than hold the line, which is probably the 1890 theory of government, where people were free to do what they want. If you ran over someone's fence with your wagon, you got out and you fixed the fence. We used to say, no harm, no foul. Now, if you drove away and didn't fix the fence, you were called an outlaw, which means you broke somebody's stuff and you didn't fix it. Now, if you run over someone's fence, the government wants to write you a ticket and then make you, through force and coercion, fix it. When the government's got no business, it's not their fence. If you stop, fix the fence, mend it back, talk to the owner, make sure everything's copacetic, I don't think there needs to be government interaction in that free, although there was damage. If you fix it, it's all good. Ingrid, I will get right back to you. My song of the week, ladies and gentlemen. I was waiting for it all week long. I'll be right back, Ingrid, on Brush Fires of Freedom at 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Trusted local news and talk from the heart, body, mind, soul, and spirit of me. That's right. Live in the Perfection Auto Works studio at 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Trusted local news and talk from the heart, body, mind, soul, and spirit of me. Ingrid, how are you today, young lady? I'm gonna help you out. I can no longer say, according to Colorado State University, apparently I can't say he or she or ladies and gentlemen. So how are you, person of female qualities? Ingrid, how are you today?
Oh, I'm an it.
You're an it?
Yeah, I guess so.
We're all pans gendered now, I guess, or something. MX, Ingrid, how are you today? What do you think?
Fine.
You're on my side. You're true libertarian.
Yes, but.
Uh-oh.
You have to make it interesting, right?
I got it.
At the beginning of the program, you said, well, we should be free to buy and sell anything we want.
I said, so I qualified that with moral and ethical.
Yeah.
I didn't say sex slaves, and I didn't say human slaves.
So long as you don't hurt anybody.
Yes.
Now, the buying and selling of weed, marijuana, the kind that you smoke, and also the kind that we now are putting extra special ingredients into. Do you
THC.
Think it's proper to smoke that in front of somebody who's obligated to breathe it if you live, say, in an apartment-like setting where the smoke travels all over the place, or you're in a bus, or you're in a taxi, and the cab driver is puffing away? Do you think that that's good?
No more than back in the day. I'm old enough, Ingrid. I sat in the back of the airplane with my mother smoking cigarettes on a Boeing 707 when I left Salt Lake City and flew to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Back of the plane, smoking cigarettes, when, I don't know, 50 out of 50 doctors, including Marcus Welby, said cigarettes were good. I mean, Chesterfield was good for your health. 40 out of 59 doctors say it's great. Well, we sat in a plane and smoked. I'm telling you one thing.
What do you do if you were living in an apartment building or something like it? And the stuff is spreading all over the place, and you can't get away from it. What are you supposed to do? File a lawsuit?
My deal is, I smoke cigarettes, Ingrid. I don't even smoke in my house. You know, I don't believe in anybody as an invited. I mean, this is how simple it is. My house, but you as an invited guest shouldn't have to come in my house and suffer through my crappy habits.
So what do you do? What do you do with somebody like that? People who do that to other people. How do you handle it?
My first thing would be put them in the stocks, but I know we can't do that. Government's probably not going to do anything about it. I mean, it's damage. Ingrid.
So we had a law that outlawed this sort of activity. Then we changed it. Now you've got children. This is the worst. You've got the children inhaling this stuff, and we all know what it does to children's brains.
Well,
it is a criminal thing to do.
No different than, and I'm trying to be about as nice as I can because I have my list of things I can't say. I can't say crack baby, but if a mother, simple.
The baby lives in the apartment, and it's inhaling this.
I get it.
What are you supposed to do?
What are you personally supposed to do?
Yeah, about the neighbors.
I guess last recourse, ladies and gentlemen, is get the government involved.
That's right.
I got a problem with it though, ladies and gentlemen, in the amount of these drug raids that have gone bad, people getting shot, dogs getting shot, doors blown off the hinges with tanks and grenades, babies getting killed. I'm not a huge fan of the drug war. Yeah, I'm a real libertarian. I'm the guy that says you can sit in your house with your fully automatic AR-15, M-16, or M-249 and defend your pot. I'm real.
Well, you have to protect yourself and your babies. And also, this income tax thing, how about property? I'm all for eliminating income tax. Don't get me wrong.
Property tax is even more violent.
But exactly.
Much more violent.
First thing that has to go, because if you don't pay it, you lose your property. And we all listened to the news where that guy, because he thought he didn't have to pay something, and he paid a certain amount, and he was told he had till a certain date to get the rest of it in, and then they did a dirty deed on him, and they took his house away. They said it was due earlier.
For like a couple $300 or something, some ridiculous amount of money that they, if those in government lose that every, in paper clips a day.
And even if it were more, they told him one date, and then they turned around and did something else for another date. And the other thing, too, you said you don't want the government getting involved in your church. Well, how about when you go to a government session and you're there to talk about government business, you get confronted by a clergyman. You don't go to government sessions to be confronted with some thing that somebody wants to talk about regarding his religion. We're not there for that.
That's
something that needs to be addressed too.
I agree. I got to the point, Ingrid, when the last time I voted, when I actually went to the Baptist church and I pulled in the parking lot with my ballot, I was sitting there going, "Hey, wait a minute, what are we doing? Doing government voting for the next pack of government, quote unquote, officialdoms, owners, slave masters, plantation owners. Why am I doing it at the Baptist church? I should be forced to go down to the DMV and wait in line like everybody else does. Go down there and wait 7-12 hours and do it at a government office so you know how it feels to work at a government office or deal with them."
Right. But I will take the devil's advocate position here, which probably strikes you as being ludicrous. What they do in those circumstances is they cover up all the religious symbolism and try to make it look as non-churchy as possible.
Yeah, very secular.
And they I think they don't charge. I don't know if you pay the church to use a rental.
I don't. You know what? I better not go there because there's always going to be
get in trouble.
I won't get in trouble. But there's the other devil's advocate point of view in that churches are somewhat non-taxpayers on their property.
Somewhat, they are. You know that the clergyman's social security. The church doesn't pay its share of his or her social security benefits. I better hang up because I'll have you on the phone.
You're in trouble.
Too long, and other people won't get in.
I got
won't
you.
Have time.
Okay, Chris, I got to slip one break in, bro. I don't want you to have to work this long, but ladies and gentlemen, from I don't know when this was, but one of my favorite singers of all time. Get us out for just 1 second, John. Ladies and gentlemen I can't say ladies and gentlemen. 1979, that's the Runaways, and singing in front of that band, ladies and gentlemen, Joan Jett on the side, Lita Ford. Starting to learn her chops at guitar, ladies and gentlemen. Chris, before I get to you, sir, I gotta run through a few things that we've been banned from saying. If we go to Colorado State University, we will go to the Inclusive Communications Task Force. The only reason it matters, ladies and gentlemen, 33,877 young skulls full of oatmeal are enrolled in Fort Collins, Colorado, which means if you are a federal taxpayer, you're on the hook. Yeah, I promise you, 2/3 of those kids are on some sort of federal government program. Colorado State University, ladies and gentlemen, probably takes $300 million a year from the quote-unquote federal government that just picks money off of flower trees. But they said, I can't say addicted like crack, because it makes somebody feel bad. I can't say American because it makes somebody feel bad. I can't say basket case, even though I took my motorcycle to the motorcycle shop as a basket case. I can't say the blind, the deaf. I can't say an eye for an eye. I can't say cakewalk. That could make former slaves feel bad. I can't say colored. I have to say person of color. I can't say spastic. I can't say spaz. And thank God for this, ladies and gentlemen, you in the audience can't say crazy, nuts, maniac, lunatic, the self-proclaimed lunatic fringe of Tucson Radio. You can't say insane, deranged, psycho, demented, or OCD when you're talking about me if you're at Colorado State University. Coming soon, Orwell, the Division of Pre-Speak. Chris, how are you today, young man? I figure you'll like that. Oh, sorry about that, Chris. How are
My
you doing?
My brother from another mother.
My brother from WVA. I like that. WVA, ladies and gentlemen.
Or as they would say at Colorado State, my it from another it. It just kind of loses its flavor, huh?
I don't want to... I keep... I say ladies and gentlemen probably 30 times a week, but according to them, according to these LMN, okay, we're trying to learn, LM, ladies and gentlemen, where does it say? Well, it says in there, oh, here we go. We don't want to say he or she, and we don't say ladies and gentlemen, because these terms imply that gender is binary. You're either a man or a woman. God forbid we actually get our Bible and figure that out. It doesn't acknowledge that people may identify anywhere along the gender spectrum. So we'll say, from now on, everyone, students, Rams, people, they, them, theirs, Z, or Chris. We can say Chris, though. That's okay. Chris?
You psycho spaz.
I'm not. We're doomed. We're doomed. I mean, when is it going to be a crime? It's coming. It's coming. It's going to be, they'll write this into law, and somewhere there'll be speech, not thought police, speech police running around on the streets controlling free people like you, Chris, and me.
But on to the subject matter, libertarians.
All right, there you go, buddy.
Stay out of my biz, I'll stay out of your biz party. Like it.
Oh, my God. And I think it was Willie Nelson. Gonna mind your own business?
Yeah.
I don't have my guitar.
You know the definition of a libertarian? Ready?
Go ahead.
That's the person who would conquer the earth and leave everybody alone.
Bingo, ladies and gentlemen. Boy,
now,
that is.
I feel bad for libertarians. You guys in the dictionary, you're wedged in between liberal and libido.
I like it, ladies and gentlemen. And that plays into no ED drugs on Brush Friars of Freedom. You will not hear ED drugs on Brush Friars. Sorry.
But I'm what you call a 95% libertarian. I just can't. We need our military projected right now. We need to have them out there. And that's the only thing I take exception with is a complete drawback on military globally. Now, I could be wrong on that. They might have changed. But other than that, I'm with you, brother, 95%. And you know I love you to death. But that's my only disagreement with libertarians.
I understand that. And here's my very simple financial and geographical argument about that. If I walked around the local, I don't know, from Marana to Vail and crossed the entire Pima County or Tucson Greater Metro area with my big giant map that had no names on it, no country names, and I showed you that we're in 142 countries right now, and I would like you to name the Sudan. I'd like you to name the DRC, which is the Democratic Republic of Congo. I'd like you to show me, since you're all not you, Chris, but since you're all talking about Venezuela, find it on a map. Show me Nicaragua. Show me Honduras. Show me Syria. Show me Iran. Show me Iraq. Show me Afghanistan. Show me Jordan. Show me Turkey. Show me Norway. Show me Russia, which I think one out of probably 20 people could get. Show me China. Show me Hong Kong. Show me the Philippines. Show me where Subic Bay is. Show me where Guam is. Hell, show me Hawaii and Alaska, for God's sakes. And then at that point, maybe if we got to 95% of the people could identify where the men, women, brothers, I know this is going to offend everybody at Colorado State, the mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, sons, and daughters are packing those rifles in places, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you think we have something to do in Somalia, go rent Black Hawk down tonight and sit through the whole thing. Sit through it all and then go get We Were Soldiers Once and Young and sit through that one and tell me where, hell, get Full Metal Jacket. Start really doing, how much do we need to do when we had 58,865 people killed in Vietnam? We're at 44 suicides a day right now in this country over Iraq and Afghanistan. The VA is sending these kids out with lunch bags full of drugs, Chris. How far you want to go?
Well,
I'm picking on you, man. I'm saying.
I just feel that right now with the current state of our planet, if we weren't out there, it would be really bad for us. And that's just my opinion. That's all it's worth. But that's weird you bring up Black Hawk, because you know I live over here on the other side of the Tucson Mountain, and right now there's a blackhawk out there loitering around over the Avra Valley, and it looks really beautiful, buddy. That is one beautiful bird.
That's a big airplane.
I love it.
That's
but
a boatload.
I need to lighten the load on you a little bit. Since I busted out my random house, you want to hear the definition of liberal, number one, what it is? This is so hilarious. This is so funny. Liberal, one, favoring extensive individual liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Two, tolerant. Now, which one do you think fills the bill on the modern-day liberal? I don't think it's number one.
Okay, we've got a definition problem. We've got a definition problem and a pronoun problem. Jefferson was a liberal. Jeffersonian liberalism is what's called... Charles Hill.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I understand.
I'm talking about these. Well, now they're progressive.
Bingo. Jefferson was a liberal. Samuel Adams was a liberal. It means keep your frigging hands off me. It's been co-opted, and we should say progressives, which what they want to be, socialist, Marxist, Leninist, Taoist, or I'm sorry, Maoist. That's basically where we're at right now. Liberal is, truly, I'm a classical liberal. If you look up the definition of classical liberal, I'm a keep my hands off you, and you do me a favor and keep your hands off me kind of guy. I'm pretty tolerant about what you do.
Sean, we better watch it, because just above liberal in my Random House dictionary, now it is old, is libel. And that's just a little bit of humor for you, buddy, because I love your show.
I love
the passion.
I love it, brother.
I love the unpredictability. Mike, you are the Pandora's box of radio. I love it.
Thank you very much.
Keep up your good work, buddy.
As somebody said one time, what are you going
to
do on your show? And I should honestly tell everybody, what are you going to do this weekend on your show? Call me at 3:35 on Sunday morning, and I'll tell you. And even then, I probably don't know. Keep the faith out there, Chris.
See to your pants, baby. I love it.
That's exactly right. No wires here, no seat belts, ladies and gentlemen. Strap in. Here we go. Mark, how are you today, young man? Vacation time. School's out for how long?
School's out for summer.
I like it forever. Oh, I want to say Danny wanted to give you, I didn't have her mic'd up last week, but Danny was sitting in the studio. I can see her trying to grab the mic like John Bon Jovi going, Mark is the man. Mark is the man. Mark is the man. You got your own kids, get them out of school. It's your problem.
That's right. Get the kids out of TUSD. You have choices. You have options. Of course, you have, charter schools all over the place. And some are really good, and some may not be really good. And there are other public school districts that are pretty good, but TUSD is not. And you can also homeschool. You will be surprised how easy it is to homeschool and how much less time it will take your kids to get the same curriculum that they would get in a public school.
And we only have to go back. I mean, it was your grandparents. So we're going back two generations, which would generally be 55 to 60 years in small towns, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, all these little places in Wyoming, Montana, Utah. 70 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, 8 years, and those kids came out ready to run the farm, the store, or the railroad. What are we doing now?
You're right. And they became, governors and presidents and so on.
Absolutely. And they, like you said, I mean, many kids, even in a dirt, what looked to be the old A-frame thing built without a permit from the county, ladies and gentlemen, on Little House on the Prairie, they just stood up the blocks and built their own schoolhouse. I know, crazy idea, right? In those little dirt schoolhouses, Mark, you're brilliant. Kids came out speaking Latin, Greek.
Right.
They could, Greek, sorry about that. They could go less than 100 years ago, go into a Catholic church on Wednesday night on St. Mary's and listen to a Catholic mass in Latin and have a pretty good functional understanding what's going on. Take our entire TUSD, take them all through a Latin mass and see if they know even one single word of the mass, Mark.
Yeah, they won't. And there's another thing. The hometown where I grew up, the schools were taught in a Bavarian German dialect because it was settled by people from Bavaria.
My guest is here and grew up in that style of learning. And even now we look at Europeans almost always speak two or three languages. And
they do.
In this country, 7 billion, I'm sorry, not the country, in this state, $7.2 billion last year spent on education, and 10,000 hours to 12,000 hours, and we are turning out about 50% that are highly functional in English, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone math. We don't want to talk about science
Oh, my gosh.
Trigonometry.
So anyway, what I was getting at on this language thing, is so in 1964, the schools had to stop teaching in that foreign language. It was considered foreign language because, you know, this is America. And the Supreme Court came out with a ruling that all schools must be taught in English. Now, how does TUSD get away with teaching in Spanish anywhere?
I was just going to say, I mean, how are we doing that? It's ESL, right, Mark? Am I got that right, ESL learning?
Well, that's English as a second language, but there's some TUSD schools, elementary, middle schools, that are taught in Spanish. I don't know how they're able to get around that thing. Maybe it's just not reported. I'm not understanding. Maybe I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they are teaching some English. Now, my kids did not speak English when they went to kindergarten. We spoke only Japanese to them at home. And
really?
There's nobody out there that can speak, you know, that there's no Japanese, you know, language thing and support in the school systems anywhere in the valley. And anywhere in Arizona. Might find that in California, but and certainly maybe in Hawaii. But anyway, so they didn't know anything in English. And they came out just fine.
And they came out probably winners. I met both your kids, Mark, and I'm telling you, I'm calling that winning. And 505. Yep. I'm not going to say winning 101. I'm going to call that 500 level winning, Mark.
And they speak Japanese very well.
I like it, Mark. That's called being a real parent, ladies and gentlemen. When you have those kids, they're yours. When you walk into the world, ladies and gentlemen, don't hit, don't steal. Practice the golden rule. And this world, again, will become something you want to live in every single day. Trust me, guys. Love thy neighbor as thyself. We'll see you next week on Brush Fires of Freedom at 10:30 a.m. The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.